Thank you, Jeffrey. So I'm here today to talk about a continuous latent factor model for non-ignorable missing data in longitudinal studies. My co-author, Jun Zhang, was not able to be here today. So we have two disclosures. We have no financial relationships, and we have a disclosure that Bayer Pharmaceutical has no guarantee of accuracy on the study. This was done before my co-author went to work at Bayer Pharmaceutical. So here's kind of an outline of the talk today. Start with a bit of background and a motivating example. We'll talk about the model specification and estimation, and then present results from a small simulation study and results of applying our model to the motivating example of AIDS clinical trials. So the motivating example we have is a study of treatments for HIV, and there were two treatment groups in the data we're looking at. Patients were randomized to either a dual or triple therapy, and the measurement outcome was CD4 blood counts. And so these are patients with severe suppression of the immune system. And the CD4 counts were measured at baseline at 8-week intervals, and we're measured up to 40 weeks. As I said, this is a publicly available data set. In particular, it's an example from the book by Fitzmaurice. So here's a plot of the response rate. So this is not a plot of the measurements of blood counts. This is a plot of what proportion of the patients were available at each time point. So you can see the very severe missing data problem in this study. By week 40, the proportion of respondents who were still in the study was very low. The missing data proportion is fairly the same for both the dual and triple therapy. Here's another plot of the missing data patterns. In this plot, the blue represents available data, observed data, and the red represents missing data. Patient records would be vertical. So you can see over here, right here, these are the 172 patients out of over 1,000 that had complete data records. And over here we get to patients that had mostly missing data. So one question, of course, is going to be, what is the influence of this missing data on the outcome in the study for evaluating the efficacy of the two treatment groups, the dual therapy and the triple therapy, over time? Yeah, so in the missing data literature, there are some commonly used concepts: missing pattern, missing data mechanism, ignorable missing data, and non-ignorable missing data. Ignorable missing data is sometimes referred to as missing completely at random or missing at random, and non-ignorable is sometimes referred to as not missing at random. And it's often the case that it's difficult to determine whether data are missing at random or non-missing at random. If data are non-ignorable missing, it's known that there is bias and estimators of a model, particularly for a linear mixed model, which is of interest to us. Dropout subjects with only one or two observations will produce bias and estimation of the slope parameter. Drop-in subjects, especially those who drop in at the end of the study, have been shown to produce bias in intercept-related parameters. In order to overcome the deleterious effects of the missing data and the potential bias, in this literature, we see a joint modeling of the distribution of both the observed data and the missing data mechanism. So there are at least, there's a large literature on missing data. There are at least two common models, so-called pattern mixture models, where the joint distribution of the response variable of interest, the Y, and then the R, which would represent missing data indicators, given parameters, is a product of the conditional distribution of Y given R times the distribution of R. The stars here represent that in the pattern mixture model, there are distinct patterns, distinct parameters for each pattern, potentially distinct parameters for each missing pattern. Selection models, we have the joint distribution of Y and R given the parameters, is equal to the probability of Y times probability of R given Y. For the pattern mixture model, there is, because of the parameters for each potential pattern, there's over-parameterization and under-identified model, and which makes these difficult to estimate. For selection models, there are usually untestable assumptions for the missing mechanism. One type of pattern model is the latent class model that has been studied by Jason Roy. And notice here we have for the joint distribution of R, the missing data, indicators Y, the responsive indicator, and then random effects in a mixed model, summation over L. That would be summation over latent classes. So down here is a diagram of that model. Over here, the Y's are the measurements of interest. The B's are random effects from a linear mixed effects model. L here would be latent classes that are determined from the missing data indicators, and the X are some potential common covariates. What's missing from the diagram here is the idea that there are multiple parameters for each of the different potential latent classes. One drawback of the latent class approach is that it's difficult to determine the appropriate number of latent classes, and it is also necessary to have fairly large data set before this model can be estimated adequately because of the large number of parameters and parameters that are specific to each pattern or each, in this case, each latent class. Our model, which we now call a continuous latent factor model as opposed to the latent class model, has this appearance. So over here, again, on this side, we have a linear mixed effects model where the Y's are the outcomes of interest, X are covariates, B's are, the B's here are random effects in the model, might be random intercept, random slope. And on this side, we have the continuous latent factor model where U here represents a random effect for missingness, continuous latent variable, with indicators of the R's, the missing data indicators, and we have a regression of the B random effects from the latent class, from the mixed model. We have regression of the B on the U's, the latent random effects from the missing data model. In order to estimate this model, we consider this factorization of the distribution of Y, the variable interest, and R, the missing indicators. And notice here we have the distribution of Y, conditional X and B, the distribution of B given X. So Y given X and B, that's the typical linear mixed model. The B given X would be some type of multivariate normal distribution. Distribution of R given X, we use a random logistic regression model here. the distribution of U given X, typically that would be some kind of a multivariate normal distribution, or although other distributions are feasible. And then we're integrating out over the distribution of the latent variable for missingness and the random effects in the model. And then there's, when we get to the missing data, when we want to get the likelihood for the observed data, we have to also integrate over the missing data. Estimation of this model is a formidable problem because of the integration. We had two estimation schemes. One, we used expectation maximization algorithm. Because of the intractable integrals in the expectation step, we use a Monte Carlo expectation algorithm, where sampling is done by the Metropolis-Hastings algorithm, and we monitor convergence of the estimation by bridge sampling. And this is the method that's described in our chapter. We have another method of full Bayesian estimation, which was motivated by the fact that the Monte Carlo EM algorithm took an enormous amount of time for us to estimate. The full Bayes model was much more reasonable to estimate. But as I said in the chapter, we only described the Monte Carlo EM algorithm. So we did a short simulation study, and this is a linear mixed model with a linear time effect and a covariate of age and a grouping variable. And we have a random intercept here, random slope, and we have missing data generated by non-missing at random. And for generating the missing data, we use the Diggle-Kenward model, where the logit for probability of missing depends on the current value and the previous value. And we used mean square error to evaluate the model and compared it a model where we ignored the missing data. And we also compared Roy's model and then the our continuous latent factor model. These simulations are not in the chapter. They were all done with the Bayes method because it was not feasible to do a simulation with the Monte Carlo EM algorithm. In these plots here, the ones are the model that ignored the missing data, so missing at random when it was not. Twos are Roy's latent class model, and the threes are our model. And we can see here quite clearly that the model that is missing at random had considerable bias in results for both time and for intercept and linear time. And then this was for the fixed effects in the model. These are similar plots for the random effects, the random intercept, random slope, and covariance between intercept and slope. So then returning to our motivating example, before we do that, just to make the point of the difficulty with the latent class approach, we did several simulation studies. I only showed you one of them, where we had a thousand samples of size 1,000. In this case, both the MAR model, our model, and Roy's model converged for 100% of the samples. If we drop down to smaller sample sizes of 80 and 300, we can see that the latent class model has difficulty converging for estimation of the parameters because of the small sample size. All right, then. So back to our motivating example for the AIDS clinical trial. We focused on comparison of the dual therapy with the triple therapy and analyzed the log transform CD4 counts. And as we showed previously, there were a large portion of proportion of missing data potentially non-ignorable. So this is a plot. These are lowest lines for the triple therapy and the dual therapy. So clearly these lines across time indicate a nonlinear pattern. So following what Fitzmaurice did in his textbook, we used the spline model with a spline at week 16. So we estimate a linear curve to week 16 and then a linear curve, a separate linear curve after week 16 for both groups joined at week 16. And here's our model for our linear mixed model with the spline at week 16. And for the missing data indicator, we use a logistic regression, probability of Rij equal to 1, which indicate missing, is a function of the random person parameter, continuous latent factor parameter, and a time parameter. And so here are results just in terms of the plotted lines, the fitted lines under the model. And so here, in both of these, the top lines are the line obtained from ignoring the missing. That's the MAR model. The middle line is the pattern mixture model, Roy's light and class model. And the bottom solid line in both of these is the estimated model, estimated regression from our continuous latent factor model. So we see a substantial difference between the MAR model and the two missing data models, the two models that accommodate missing not at random. In the results here, clearly the slopes before week 16 are not parallel. We see the triple therapy group having increasing CD4 counts over time, while the dual therapy group has slightly decreasing blood counts. After week 16, both groups are decreasing, and these lines are essentially parallel after week 16 in the declines. So the small effect here of the models that have non-missing at random versus the model that assumes missing at random, actually not small. These are substantial differences here in these curves. So our summary, missing data problems are subject of a lot of research. The models that we looked at here for missing not at random, essentially considered as sensitivity analysis. And we really have no test for missing not at random, and we have no test that these are appropriate, are necessarily the appropriate model. But by comparing the results from the missing not at random model to the model where missingness is assumed at random, we can use it in that sense as a kind of a sensitivity analysis. And for our model, the continuous latent factor model, the two features that we promote are that it performs better in smaller samples where the pattern mixture latent class type model is not feasible, and also does not encounter the problem of having to determine the number of latent classes, which is itself a difficult problem. Thank you.
I know Siri had a question for you. But anybody else have a question for the speaker?
For the speaker, come on, contributing authors, please say, Jeffrey.
All right, those people who contributed to the textbook, that I'll get a photo of. But before the photo op, do you have any questions, any burning questions? Now, you're supposed to have a sheet of paper in your hand, and on that sheet of paper has many things written. The last five people here didn't have a sheet of paper. So you ask, what kind of model is that, where some people are missing a sheet of paper. Well, it just meant that you got a blank. That's all it meant. All right, so somebody has a sheet saying, I won. All right, there you go. Come right to me.
Okay.
So that marks the end of our session. Again, the speakers are wrong. You can ask them questions. Friends and others who head up the association, they are wrong. We invite you to come to the socials tonight, and we invite you to take more interest in our session. Thank you very much.